checking for me, no one checking on me, so I had to go run up and check. How is everyone doing out there? I hope you're doing great. I'm your host, Simon. Thanks for tuning in to the third episode of the Closed Network Podcast. Episode 3, recorded on October 22nd, 2021. I'm excited to keep doing these. I've been getting a couple of messages already, which is pretty cool considering that I only have two episodes out. And it appears that there is a lot of interest in privacy and security topic related items as I'm looking at some of the download metrics and things like that. So I'm really, happy to see that. I'm happy to see that people are interested in this topic. I've been listening to a few other podcasts. One I just discovered this week called Opt Out. And I think there's about a dozen episodes. The podcast just started at the end of May, beginning of June. And it talks, they talk a lot about, they interview people and stuff like that, but it's a very similar content. There's a lot of crossover there. So I will have a link to that podcast in the show notes because I've been enjoying it. And they talk about, you know, just the reasons why the answer people give of I don't have anything to hide, you know, this and that and the other is kind of like, all right, you know, we're beyond all that now. We pretty much are reading all the time or seeing some sort of article, whether it's editorial or a research paper of some kind coming out. Specifically, one came out on the 14th. There was a New York Times posting an article that was labeled "Cybersecurity Experts Sound Alarm on Apple and the EU Phone Scanning Plans." And within that article, there's a link to Cornell University referencing an article. It's actually a research paper called "Bugs in Our Pocket, the Risks of Client-Side Scanning." And it goes into pretty big detail, deep detail. I haven't gone through the entire 46-page document, but the first few pages I have read so far are it's pretty deep. Specifically, talking just about the client-side scanning, client-side meaning on your phone. So, on this particular episode, I'm going to try to not cover too much because I'm going to try to just get a little bit more focused on these episodes and dive a little bit deeper and give some application to. Let me check my levels here. Yeah, I think we're okay. Diving a little bit deeper into the day-to-day use and how to implement some of these things that I'm talking about. But on the last episode, I had my brother Michael on, and I was basically just asking him how his journey had been switching from an iPhone to a de-Googled Android phone running Graphene OS. And that's a big interest. People running Graphene OS, Calyx OS, these are open source, open projects, I guess, supported by people like you and I donating to the projects. And their really primary focus is to, you know, be able to have a smartphone that, you know, you can still kind of utilize as you would any other smartphone, but it's more privacy respecting. They have their pros and cons between the two, in my opinion, which I'll get into on a different episode. But that was kind of like his experience so far over the last, you know, 6 to 12 months using the device. He's been currently on Linux, been moved him over. And we also just this week, I finally got our Nextcloud server set up. So the goal of the Nextcloud server is essentially to replace Google Cloud, Google Drive, or iCloud, and it's all on our own cloud, having our contacts synchronized to the server, our files, our pictures, essentially having your own cloud. So it's just like having iCloud, but instead of it paying it money to Apple and it's living in their environment, on their servers, all the information is living on our servers. So that might be another episode. I mean, not might be, it will be another episode talking about Nextcloud, and there's a lot of different ways to set that up. it is a little bit more technical as far as skill sets required. So that there are some easier solutions, but there are also hosted solutions out there, and I'll get into that on that particular episode, because that episode is probably just all Nextcloud. That could just be one whole episode. So my goal for episode 3 is to talk about some real practical basics about things you can start doing right away, like right now, today, tomorrow, this week. This process of moving towards a more privacy-focused and secured digital life won't happen in a day. It won't happen in a week, and it won't happen in a month. It might happen over the course of a year or two. Now, some people might be more aggressive, but I don't want anyone to feel overwhelmed that they have to, oh my gosh, I want to be more vigilant about protecting my data and my privacy, so I need to do all of these things as quickly as possible. And that's really the wrong approach. It's something that you want to take your time with, because you don't want to make mistakes. You don't want to delete an email account. By the way, you should never delete an email account, especially if you've used it for any reason in the past that has to do with like transactions or logins or accounts that got created. Because if someone else registers that account anywhere there was an account with that email, they could try to reset the password and log in. So even if you don't have a reason to log into that email account, you should set up like an auto forwarding rule for anything that does come to that email, to want your email that you do use, but you don't want to delete it. Same kind of goes for domain names. If you've ever had your own domain name and hosted your own email and stuff like that, you typically want to keep those domain names, especially if you're on a website or anything, because other people might could do, shady stuff with it. And you just want to kind of be aware of your trail, but that doesn't mean you have to use them. It just means you want to hold on to them. And so topics we're going to cover in this episode are online purchases and what you can do to try to avoid using like your name and your credit card information. We're going to talk about using unique passwords on every single website that you set up. We're also going to talk about using different profiles, especially with different phone numbers and things of that nature. And also email aliasing. So I figured those would be some kind of really cool starting places. So if you're listening to this, depending upon where you are in your journey, my focus is to help those that don't know where to begin, don't know where to start. You might have a deeper knowledge and experience level than the target audience. And I will get into more in-depth technical implementations, like technologies, things like running your own Bitcoin nodes, running your own cloud servers, running your own Mastodon, your Matrix servers. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's totally okay. The point of what my goal is to try to take back as much infrastructure as possible. So whether it's email, whether it's communicating with others, what apps I use, and knowing where your data is going and what it's passing through, who has access to it along the way, and who has access to it once it hits a destination. So let's say you're signing up for a website, or even maybe just signing up for your local grocery store membership, bullcrap to get the discount card, right? It's not a scam, but it is kind of a scam, because to get the discounts, you got to give them your phone number, which is tied to all your, you filled out a card at one point, probably has your name, your address, and all your personal information on it. And they're going to index, they're going to put that into a database, and they're going to, keep track of it. They're going to index that database. Over time, they're going to scan it and look for purchasing patterns, and they're going to know your demographic. They know where you live and all these different things. So, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Are you signing up for some website, or you downloaded a fitness app, because you were scrolling through Instagram and you felt empowered to, hey, let me do this app. And it wants you to sign up and you got to pay for it. And you don't want to get caught and like, oh, I'm getting charged for something and I forgot where I signed up for it. You know, these are the types of things I'm talking about. So I'm going to start right at the top with the purchasing. I have been using a website called privacy.com for about almost 2 years. It's right around probably 2 years. And I love it. And first off, I have zero affiliation with anything I'm about to talk about. No sponsorships, no ad shares. I am a regular guy, regular person who is just using these on my own accord. So any of these things that I talk about, it's because I've used them and I pay for most of them. Some of them are free, open source. So privacy.com is actually free to use up to a certain amount of cards. And essentially what you do is you're linking it up to your bank account. So it will require a connection to your bank account, because essentially what you're doing is creating a virtual debit card. And that virtual debit card, you can put rules on. It can be a one-time use. You can set the max spend limit for that instance. You could set the max spend limit per month. So let's say you downloaded that exercise app and you're not really sure if you're going to like it or not. You're not even really sure if you're going to do it or not. So what you could do is, if it's $9.99 a month, is you could fire up a privacy.com virtual card. And here's the beauty. You don't have to use your real name. You don't have to use your real billing address. You don't have to use any real information, and it will go through the system. So let's say you're Jane Doe, got the yoga app, and you want to try it out, but you don't want to give all your information. Heck, you're already paying them, so they should be protecting your data and not cultivating it for later use or selling it to third parties, but they probably will. So let's use a pretend name. Well, you're thinking like, okay, well, I got to create like a fake email somewhere and then keep track of all that. No, you do not. This kind of dovetails into what I call like pseudo accounts, pseudo profiles. So you can do one of two things. You can use an email alias, which just would forward to your email, and then you could block it anytime you want. But you don't have to give out your real email address to get that email to verify your account. So I use Simple Login. Again, it's a free service. I used a free version of Simple Login because I don't need a ton of aliases. I have aliases with other services that I'll talk about later. But I use Simple Login, and it's great because it'll just fire up a random email, and you can drop that email in there. And a lot of times they'll send you an email, and you'll have to click a verification link or something like that. So here you are. You're signing up for your app. You are paying for it with a privacy.com virtual credit card. It's really tied, it is a debit because it's going to come from your checking account. And you get to use a fake name, an email alias. You could create email aliases for each and every service you use out there if you want to. And you don't have to check those email accounts. They're going to come to your email. And when you're tired of it, you literally burn that email alias, and you don't even have to hit an unsubscribe button. You don't have to wait till that point. You can just be like, I want to opt out of this, right? So you can use Simple Login. You can also use an application called MySudo. I've been using MySudo for a couple years on my iPhone. They are available on iPhone, and they're available on the Android platform as well. They have a free version, which gives you, I think, one, what they call a sudo, right? That sudo will give you a phone number. And inside the app, it is really slick. You can pick the phone number. You can pick what country. You can pick which state. And then what it does is you create this identity, right? And it's all in an app. It's super easy to use. I pay for the premium plan. I want to say it's maybe 10 bucks a month, could be 15. I think I have like the max, pseudo max plan, which I think gives me like 9 or 10 pseudo accounts. And the cool thing is you can create a pseudo account, and inside the app, you can even make phone calls as that number. You can receive calls as that number. You can have a separate contact address book. So let's maybe even say you might even use this one, have it for like your business line. It has email inside of it. It has a browser inside of it as well. So if you click on, if you're in an email and someone, if you're, let's say you're using it for this purpose here where they're going to email you, and if you click verify, it'll even open a browser inside of that MySudo. So it doesn't even access like cookies or anything off of your default browser on your phone. It kind of just, is like this isolated silo where you get to do what you need to do to complete whatever task you're trying to achieve here. Like in this case, it's signing up for a yoga or a workout app, right? And you don't have to give up anything. And when you're done with it, you can just burn it all to the ground and don't have to worry about it impacting like all your other stuff, right? So, and if, you know, someone's calling one of those numbers, you know it's spam. We all probably get a lot of those spam calls anyways, and we're used to just kind of not answering the phone if we don't know who it is. Because it's usually someone who's trying to sell you an extended car warranty or talk to you about student loan debt, even if you don't have student loan debt. So these apps are things that you could run on any of your devices right now. And you could start implementing, like just trying one thing out. So whether it's using something like MySudo or it's using something like simple login for your email aliases, or just setting up a privacy.com account. And I'm not advocating that you do one or all. These are the things that I do in my life on a daily basis. These are all tools that I use. And my ethos for this podcast, if you will, is to be transparent and honest and not pitch anything that I would not use myself. And I want to keep this podcast really pure in the sense that I plan to monetize the podcast through donations, whether it's cryptocurrency or some other form. Maybe I'm not quite sure yet. I haven't even figured all that stuff out. I don't really care. That's not really the point of it right now. The other thing that I want to do is sell products that help people bridge these gaps. So for instance, I'm a pretty technical person, so I can flash different privacy respecting operating system ROMs on Google Pixel phones, specifically Graphene OS and Calyx OS, for people that are kind of intimidated by doing some of those technical implementations. I want to be able to, you know, say, hey, you know, I can sell you a Pixel for, you know, $200 or $300, depending upon the model, you know, and it'll arrive. You can, I'll show you, tell you how to validate, or I can do a video validating the operating system. You get it and you set it up and you're on your way. I plan to do a lot of tutorials on the closednetwork.com website. And that link will be in the show notes, but the website is Closed Network. So it's NTWRK, no vowels in network. So just closed NTWRK.com is where I'll be putting all these tutorials and selling the devices, maybe some merch, maybe some clothes and stuff like that, and donations. But I won't be doing sponsorships or that kind of thing. I have no interest in it. So when I'm talking about these things, it's just to say I use these services, I pay for a lot of these services, and this is how I do it. Now, it's not the only way to do it. And there's definitely other solutions out there. The goal is to try to get away from one company or two companies or three companies that basically own all of your life. So that may be Apple and Facebook and a few other services, or it might be Google and Facebook. And if you're, you know, it's like you want to get out of those ecosystems. It's taking you several years probably to get to a point where you're like, oh my gosh, okay, you know, I'd really like to get out of here, or I'd like to switch. And maybe you just want to switch from Google Android or Google to Apple or whatever. There's no judgment. I have my own path, and there's a lot of people that are just wanting to be a little bit more understanding of like what they're giving up and what's being accessed and how it's being used and what can they do to circumvent the scanning, the tracking, the data collecting and the targeted ads and that type of thing. And maybe even also concerns about what the government's doing without, you know, there's these, you know, different warrants that they're kind of using, whether it's keyword warrants, geotag warrants. And what I mean by that is if there's a crime that's committed, they can scan within a certain geography any devices that were in the area within a certain window. Well, the only way they would know you were there is if all that data is being stored. They're doing the same thing with keywords. They are retroactively going back and looking in time of known individuals, people of interest who might be, not even just people of interest, anyone using keywords. And I won't get into that specific threat at the moment, but these are the types of things that it could be a range, right? You might be, hey, I just want to be a little bit better about my privacy. I want to be smarter about it. Or you might be the other side of it. You're just going like, no, I want to try to be like as underground as possible. In which case this podcast might help you on that journey, but then you're definitely going to want to move on to something much more detailed on that specific and that within that scope. My focus is kind of like everyone in the beginning to up to like intermediate level. I think beyond that, you'll probably start, you know, coming up with and devising your own methods, and depending upon your threat model, which is what you're trying to avoid, you're probably going to go down other paths. And that's totally cool. I love that kind of stuff too. I go down those rabbit holes myself. But within this beginning of the journey, we were just kind of focusing on where you're at today, where you're trying to go, and what are some things you can do right now. So we've talked about privacy.com, which you can use today, like right now. And the thing that's actually really cool about that is you can also do things like allow your children or someone else, like, have this virtual credit card number, and you can set a spend limit per month. So you can say, all right, kids, I'm going to set you up with your Google Play account or your iCloud account, build to this privacy.com to download your apps or games, but you only get $10. And that's all you can spend on it. You don't have to manage it. It's automatic. They will automatically start declining charges beyond your threshold. You can also set it up as a one-time use. So maybe there's something you want to buy online or a sketchy website that you're not too sure about. And you don't want to go through the hassle of having to like, oh my gosh, if I get scammed, I got to cancel my card and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, just fire up a privacy.com card. It could be one-time use. And boom, there you go. You don't have to worry about it. And the other cool thing is you don't have to give real billing information or your real phone number when you purchase products. How cool is that? I want people to get into the mindset of, I don't give you my info for any reason, period. You don't have to give it. You don't. I've made the joke in the past, on the, I think episode one, which is, unless you're talking to a law enforcement or your financial institution, you don't have to tell them nothing. And, you know, I stick to that. So when you're at the grocery store, you're at wherever, and it's a rewards program or whatever, and you're not going to get the discount unless you give us your information, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. I'll give you my information. And you're just going to fire up a pseudo. Or you're going to log into my pseudo, and you're going to be like, I am Jane Doe. I am John Doe. Here is my phone number, my pseudo account. Here is my pseudo email. Here is a fake address. And if I have to pay for something to subscribe to something, I'm going to fire up a privacy.com email account. Credit card. Privacy.com, credit card to pay for it. Email is where I'm going next. Email and password management. So you start to actually really enjoy it like it's a game. When you understand that your data is being harnessed for marketing purposes, which, you know, I mean, like, we can't all be mad at, right? Kind of get it. If you're a business, you have to innovate. You have to be able to set up marketing automation campaigns. You need to be able to create that that you're competing for attention. So you need to create content to compete for the attention that you're competing with all these other businesses. I get it. I'm not mad about it. I'm just irritated that every time I have a new email account or something, like, it seems like within like 2 months, it's just getting blasted with spam. And that's how I always felt, you know, with Gmail, using Gmail primarily as my personal email since, when they first came out. I mean, back in the days when Google Voice was Grand Central, back in the day when my Facebook account, I don't even remember. We're veering off, but I'm just saying there's a lot that comes into those inboxes because your data is getting sold. So if you're protecting, You're creating a gateway, essentially what you're doing, and you're the gatekeeper to that with the apps and your technique, right? How you're using this, kind of like your workflow, if you will. Everyone might do something a little bit different. For instance, you might use my pseudo just for the phone number. And then you might use Simple Login just for the email burners, right? The next point of the, or the next topic point I wanted to kind of dovetail into this, there's other stuff, I don't know if I'll get to all of it, but I wanted to talk about password managers and how important they are. I have used, personally, I've used KeePass, 1Password, and right now what I'm using is Bitwarden. I've been using Bitwarden. I switched everything over to Bitwarden about a year ago-ish, and I love it. First of all, like, it doesn't really matter which password man. I mean, I guess maybe it does matter, but it doesn't really matter to me, I should say, if you're using 1Password or Bitwarden. I like Bitwarden because it's the one password manager out there that has the ability to self-host your own server so that you can access that server and access your login credentials from multiple devices. KeePass is an open source application, but it's really kind of hard to synchronize because the database is stored locally on the device that's where it's created. You can get maybe savvy and, you know, put that onto a shared drive and access it from multiple devices. But the simple way is to use something that has a connection to it from multiple devices, meaning your computer, your phone, your tablet, so on and so forth. So I've been using Bitwarden. I really like Bitwarden. I like the fact that you can self-host your own Bitwarden server. It could run on a Raspberry Pi in your home, in your office, or you could run it on a very inexpensive, small virtual private server on something like Linode or DigitalOcean, or, you know, anywhere where you can fire up a server for $5 a month kind of a thing. You could run it on, you know, at your house on a Raspberry Pi. It's cool. And if you don't know what a password manager is, it is an application that allows you to easily keep track of all your passwords for all your logins. You just remember one unique, challenging password that you've never used anywhere else, right? So come up with something. Sometimes you can kind of use like passphrases, like think of not just a word with numbers with it, like the year you graduated and your dog's name or something. You want to like make it unique, something to be very hard to guess about you, but it could be the lyrics to a favorite song and then swap out some characters for numbers and add in some, characters like exclamation mark, question marks, commas, semicolons, that kind of thing. Make it difficult, but make it so that you can remember what it is. That will be the one hard password that you remember, and that's the only one you ever have to remember, because the password manager will generate very, you know, complex passwords. And it's not even so much that the password is so complex. The thing is to get to a place where on every single website, you're using a different password, for the reason that there are data breaches that happen all the time. Whether it's hacked or that it was a server that was misconfigured, there was a data scrape where groups or hackers can get credentials to a particular website. So let's say you're using the same password for your email, for your Gmail, as you're also using for a popular social media site. Or it doesn't even have to be a popular social media site. It could just be any website where you've got the same login. Well, if you're using the same password and that site gets breached and that data dump is out there, then people can try to log into your other accounts associated with your email, starting with your email. And if that password works, then they're in. But if that password was only good on that one website, yeah, okay, so they can log into that one website, but they can't log into anything else where you use that email account. And that's where the password manager really shines, in that, you know, you have your password manager on your phone or computer, and you go to log into a website, boom, you just log in your password manager, copy the username, copy the password, drop it in, boom, good to go. Don't store the credentials in your browsers. I know it's more convenient to do that, but it's just good practice to not let the browser be the password manager and storing your credentials. It's better to get into the habit of being mindful about your data, your personal login and credentials. So it's good to have your password manager open and accessible and just tap into it every time you log into something. Now, a lot of times on your apps on your phone, you're only logging in like one time. But if you're accessing things like online, like your bank account, you know, or any financial institution, you know, you definitely want to have, and if they, you know, you want to have a complex password. And if they even go step further, if any of these sites have what's called two-factor authentication available to you, I would highly suggest looking into that. And I will do a separate, I'll talk about two-factor authentication on a different episode, because on a high level, the simplest form of it is everyone's probably used to getting a text message sent to their phone, which has like a code, and then you put the code into the login. Okay. That is pretty much the weakest part of 2FA, which is two-factor authentication. The next level would be to use a software app, something like Google Authenticator or Authy is a very popular one. There's several out there. And then the next level would be hardware. Me, I use hardware two-factor authentication for as many accounts as I can. And I use YubiKeys, which is made by a company called YubiCo, Y-U-B-I-C-O, YubiCo. And they require a hardware. So I physically have to plug something into my phone or a computer to get the two-factor authentication. So there's kind of like your 101 crash course on what is 2FA or two-factor authentication. It's a second authorization component that's usually done by another device or another trusted, you know, medium of some kind, whether it's a software app that you have installed or something like that. So that would be like really maximizing your security, right? And protecting your account. So in the event that there is a breach on some site and they get that login, you'll want to change that password, obviously, but that password was only good on that one website. So this is kind of like my, I don't want to call it a 101 privacy thing. I think that's kind of what it is. This episode number three is, and I'm not even quite sure what I'm going to title it. Maybe practical techniques for protecting your data or something like that. Cause that's really what this is. In the last episode, I went a little deep. We went down like de-Googled Android phone, Linux, stuff that might be kind of intimidating to process and kind of implement to your life right now. So I'm trying to do a 180 from episode two and talking about some basic things that you can do right away. And I challenge everyone listening, if you're not using one of these techniques, then just pick one. Start somewhere. So either check out privacy.com and start, you know, just say, okay, I can think of some stuff. Heck, Netflix. Switch your Netflix over to a privacy virtual card. If your plan is like $17 a month, set your spend limit for 18. This is another way you can also kind of like do your budgeting. And then let's say you have a cloud account. Let's say you have a Dropbox subscription and it's, you know, $9.99 a month. Okay, I'll fire up a privacy.com card for that. Or maybe I'll have one card and allow multiple ones. You can however you want to do it. And then you start getting in the... So the reason why I'm telling you to do these things is you get into the habit of kind of... doing some of this, and you actually also become very aware of like, holy crap, I got a lot of different subscription things that I probably could cut some out, maybe even, and just be more mindful about where your money is going and how those charges are appearing. And if something creeps or tries to double charge you or increase, this is going to decline. Now it might suck, but if it's not I'm not telling you to use these for like your electric bill or something, but if they're non-critical, then who cares? It's pretty easy to resume a service if you want. So I've signed up for things like, I'll give you a perfect example. There is a website called shells.com, and I didn't know if I would like it or not. And basically it's a website where you can sign up for it and you have access to a remote Linux desktop. And I thought that would be really cool. And I think for 3 months, I got on a plan for like $30 or $40 or something like that. And I was like, yeah, but I kind of found out that I just don't really use it because I have enough virtual servers that I'm running that if I really kind of want to get on something on the outside, I just shell into one of those systems, and it was kind of laggy. I'm not knocking the service. I mean, it's probably fine for a lot of people, but I just kind of didn't care. I forgot to cancel the service. It just slipped my mind. And today, was it today or yesterday? Actually, you know what? I'm going to pull up the privacy.com app on my phone right now, and I will tell you. I'll tell you exactly what happened here. So I can go, if you're logged into your app, you can go to your cards, and let's look at all cards. So shells. I paused the card. This is what I did. You can pause the card too. You don't have to delete it. So right after I signed up for it, I paused the card because I know myself, and I was like, I may forget about this. I may forget to use it, and I don't want to be charged automatically. So I paused it, and they tried to charge me, and it didn't go through. Now that's not on them, because I mean, I signed up for a subscription service, and I kind of checked out on it. But the cool thing is that the charge was blocked. Now I can just go resume that card and tell them to run the transaction again. And boom, I'm good for another 3 months. Or I can just be like, you know, after evaluating this, like, I don't really need this in my life, so I'm just going to cancel the service. That's the power it gives you. So privacy.com. Second would be setting up either MySudo or simple login for your email aliasing, right? And MySudo kind of extends that further. Phone number, text messaging, browser, contacts. Pretty cool. Especially if you sell stuff on, like, say, Craigslist, and you don't want to use your real cell phone number or your real email account, just use MySudo. And you can use a MySudo for a day or a week or however long you want. And you can just delete it when you're done. You can fire up a new one. Just depends on what plan you're on. I think the free one gives you one. So use that for free. Privacy.com is free. Simple login is free. And the next would be Bitwarden. Bitwarden is even free. They offer a free plan. But if you go, I like to pay for some things because I want to support the companies that are supporting, you know, people's privacy and data privacy rights and security. They're building security tools to make your life more secure, whether it's end-to-end encryption and that kind of thing. So I support Bitwarden. I do plan to subscribe to Simple Login, and I have a Sudo Max account. The cool thing about my Sudo, by the way, just slight off topic, they released the APK file, so you can sideload the app on a de-Googled Android phone, and I've been running it on Calyx OS, and it works perfectly. Now, you do need the app installed on a traditional phone tied to a traditional app store so that you can subscribe to the service for the paid services, which is fine because I have that anyways, and then I'm able to use my Sudo on a de-Googled Android phone. And I think that's really cool that they did that. This just all happened in the last like couple of weeks. So it's something I've been really jazzed about. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I think that this is a good starting point. I think in the next couple of episodes, I'm going to cover things like email, because I think that is a pretty big conversation, as well as Nextcloud server. And maybe there's a couple other things I have on my list, but if you like the show, definitely appreciate any comments on the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So if you're an Apple podcast, you want to throw 5 stars on there, that helps me spread. It gets noticed more and can reach more people. And I love the feedback. And honestly, I welcome you to go to the website, send me a message if you want, if you have questions about anything specific. That'd be great. I am going to be setting up, I think I didn't even mention this in the last episode, but I'm going to be setting up the ability, maybe through MySudo actually even, for people to like send messages or leave a voicemail or send a question, whether it's email or text even, I don't care. You know, cause again, like who cares, right? It's not my real phone. So, I want to try to create this, two-way, communication because podcasts, they're kind of weird, right? Like I'm talking into a microphone, I'm going to record this and I'm going to upload it. And I don't know who listens to it and when, and if there's questions, I want to be able to have a way for people to send those questions to me so I can address those. And if I see a theme, I might do something larger, like a how-to and some tutorials on the website. So that is pretty much it for me. Thanks for listening. I hope you got some value out of this particular episode. And I look forward to doing the next one, hopefully next week. I'm going to try to stick to this weekly thing. I'm going to give it my best shot. So until next time, I will catch you guys later. They can never keep me down going. And if I ever fail, just know I'll go again. I never quit because I know that.